Yes, welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your Thursday night freak show. We're back after a couple months. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian, straight from Las Vegas. And right next to me, my beautiful co-host.
Hello.
Nicole Six. It's apparently a margarita night, not a wine night tonight.
It's a beer night.
Well, it's a beer night for you, yes. Yeah. But you're drinking some sort of margarita concoction that you made up.
It's a margarita.
It's a margarita, so... And that lovely lady that was just talking, and my heart's going a flutter. I'm standing in between both these beautiful women. They must have closed down the Sunset Strip because both of you are here tonight.
I think so.
That is the beautiful. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm so sorry.
No, don't.
I'm so rude.
Don't be. You're not rude.
The beautiful and talented model actress. She was your teenage fantasy, and you know that. You know her. And we're going to get into this. You've done so many more things, but most people know you from the cherry pie video.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bobby Brown.
Hi.
Not the My Prerogative Bobby Brown, that Bobby
no.
Brown. And we'll talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Before we get going, I'm just doing this sporadically. I'm living in Las Vegas now, and I have a big announcement that starting in March, I will be doing my own show on the Las Vegas Strip.
Cool.
Oh, my goth. At the Tommy Wynn Theater, and that's going to be Saturdays at 11:30. I don't have a start date yet, but I'm hoping it will coincide with the UFC fight, so everybody after the UFC fights goes over and listens to a guy in makeup.
It's a thing like this? Or?
No, I'm going to be doing my stand-up, my one-man show.
Oh, cool.
My God. So it's a whole show. It's basically an hour of filth of me talking about my life.
That's awesome.
My adventures. So it's going to be great.
Congratulations. That's rad.
We should know that
sometime next week or the week after.
We should. And I will be posting that on all my media outlets. Follow me at Goth Comedian on everything. And Nicole... always, yes. I said Nicole, she just genuflected to herself. But get her book.
Some fucked up shit.
Her collection of horror short stories, Some Fucked Up Shit.
That's awesome.
And since Bobby was here last minute and does such a huge favor, I think maybe you could autograph a copy and give it to her. I'll even pay for it.
Yeah, you should have told me. I could have brought my books.
I was thinking of asking you to.
Why didn't you?
I'm sorry, I was...
It's all so last.
I was busy getting some apple cider and apple beer for you.
I can send it to the address.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
Or we can meet up and, like, do an actual physical exchange.
We can do that, too.
I would love to do it. Well, we'll see what happens after the show. Maybe you wouldn't want to make up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Depends on
how you behave.
You never know. We're going to have some crazy stuff going on in the show. Our friend Orpheus Black... He's not in the studio, so I can say it. He's on CPT, but he is running a little bit late. But yeah. He will be here, and he will be bringing his torches.
We're going to have a very fiery show for you all.
Yes.
Just so I've heard. I did not know that this was a thing. She informed me of this.
Fire play.
And I was like, that's a thing?
That's
and
a thing.
Like, yeah, and I'm like, wow.
Oh, he knows all sorts of things, so you're in for... And we would think you would have run the entire sexual gamut, but nobody's ever set you on fire?
No.
No.
I can't say that I've ever been interested in being caught on fire. That's for sure.
Right. But he's a master choking, too. You've done that, right?
Master of what?
Choking.
No.
He'll do it all.
Can I cuss?
Yeah, yes. you can say please. We encourage that.
I dare a motherfucker to choke me.
Okay.
No way.
Yeah.
Last time somebody choked me,
either.
I punched them in the face, and that was Tommy, so.
Oh. Yeah. I've got some more questions.
But it wasn't in fun. It wasn't like sexual.
Right.
It was like a whole different kind of choking.
And that's what it is. Like if you're kissing, I really like when they grab like the back of my neck like a kitten, but I don't want to be choked out. And that's something Orpheus would do if you're into that. He will choke you out. Don't.
Wow. My daughter did that to one of her friends at school, like in the sixth grade.
Oh, yeah.
A pet like a kitten or choked?
No, she went down the list and was like, I can choke people out. Choke. Pass out, choke. She just like three kids in a row. And I got a call from the principal and I was like, what are you thinking? She was like, learn this new trick where you can choke people out. I'm like, oh my God, you can't do that.
It's funny you said that because like in sixth grade, that was very popular where I was growing up too. Yeah.
Oh my God, it was a Catholic school too.
We were rich kids. Like I wasn't rich, but I was going to school with rich kids. And I guess they were bored.
Yeah, that's really what I think is up with rich people. Mm-hmm. Like they're bored and jaded and they're all like, you know, they come from great, great homes, but they're always taken care of. But they just go nuts because they're bored.
Apparently, it gives you like this little high when you wake up afterwards.
Apparently. I don't know, but I was just like, you can't do that. I almost got suspended.
So your daughter's Ronda Rousey in training.
She used to be. She's actually like more chill than I am. I've raised a pretty decent kid considering, you know, where she came from.
That doesn't surprise me. I met you a couple times and you were always just a sweetheart. And we'll talk about
Thank
that.
You.
And just real quick, the sponsors, darkmarkshow.com. You can go to audible.com and get a free audiobook. Now, is your book on audible.com?
It sure is.
Get Bobby Brown's book on audible.com. If you just go to our website, crack your knuckles.
I did.
click on the audible button right next to my smiling face. You get a free audiobook. You can hear Bobby Brown's entire story.
Who reads it?
Me.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah, it was fun.
Very sultry voice and all that.
Yeah, and then I do voices for people, and then I act out the stuff. It's kind of fun.
So what's the, Tommy Lee voice?
Hey. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And also, AdamandEve.com, the number one sex toy store in the world, and AdamMail.com, the number one gay sex toy store in the world, are sponsoring us. And if you're ever in L.A., and you are hungry, go to Doomy's Home Cooking on 1253 Vine Street. The best vegan food you've ever tasted. You wouldn't even know it's vegan. It's amazing.
Cool.
And some fucked up shit. And also Nina the Intergalactic Demon Slayer. You can get on NicoleSix.com.
And come visit me at the Rainbow. I'm more concerned about the Rainbow.
Come visit her at the Rainbow. And yeah, just so you illiterate people, just go to the Rainbow. So Bobby Brown, I so appreciate you being on the show. When I first started the show in 2013, I emailed you and I said, I'd love to have you on the show. And you had the book was coming out then. So you're like, let's wait a few months and then I'll do it. And then I don't know what happened. I just started I switched a few networks and all sorts of things happened. But you're a fascinating person to me.
Thank you.
And
keep going in and out.
Me too. Okay, I think he's got it. Okay, so here's the story for you and for everybody. And every time I meet you, you don't remember this, but to me, I'll remember this to the day I die.
Okay, what?
My first day in L.A., I moved from San Diego to L.A. to become a comic. Mm-hmm. This was in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And I was living in a garage, but that's a whole other story. So I go to the 99 Cent Store, get some brooms and things to clean out the garage, cleaning supplies, and in the aisle, right next to me, is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. I was stunned.
Who was it?
It was you. And I went over to you, and we started talking with you, and you were super cool. We had a great chat. Uh-huh. You gave me your number.
I did?
Your card. Absolutely did. We used to live in Florida. We had a little bonding there.
Okay.
And I actually called you, you called me back, but my roommate answered the phone and fucked the whole thing up. But I remember that to this day.
When he told me this in the car, he explained that his roommate was a little jaded about the fact that he lived on a futon in the living room.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so it was a different roommate, but enough of those guys. But so then five, 6 years ago, you had a birthday party at the Roosevelt Hotel. Mm-hmm. And we were Facebook friends. I got the mass invite, went over there.
Yeah.
And saw you there. And I couldn't believe it was like a day had not passed. You don't age.
Thank you.
You just
you
don't
look
age.
Really great.
Oh, thank you very much.
So what's your secret? You just don't age.
I don't know. I mean, I think good genes. Mm. It's not like I've taken care of myself my whole life. That's for sure.
Is it apple beer and cigarettes? Is that what it is?
Shit. I hope not. I pray that doesn't hit me over the head one day. I really just think it's good genes.
Yeah?
Honestly, I do. There's nothing I really do. I take care of my skin. I didn't for a really long time, but I take care of my skin now. But I don't take, I don't take anything. I juice.
Orpheus. Oh, look who just snuck in.
Hello.
Orpheus Black, Bobby Brown. Hi. Bobby Brown, Orpheus Black. Andy's in the studio. I can't believe it. Anyway, so we just got distracted. Orpheus Black just walked in, and he's our other guest, and he's got a whole bit
of fame
now, too.
And are we
going to
light her on fire? Because I really shaved my legs, so it's up to you.
We'll figure it out. We're going to talk about all sorts of things. But Orpheus, I don't know. Are you familiar with Bobby Brown? I'm sure you have.
Hi. I'm not sure. One of the many.
That was the other thing. When you had your fame, and I was going to get to that. When you were getting at the peak of your fame, how are you, Orpheus?
I'm doing good. What's up with you?
Nothing much. I have Bobby Brown here, beautiful as you can see.
Gorgeous.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask you what you feel about this, because when I told people you were going to be on the show, they were like, I sort of know that name.
And I know exactly who you were.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, Nicole knew who you were. And
Some people don't. It's fine. It's not like
when you go
A-list celebrity or anything.
Just when you go, she's my cherry pie. Everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
You remember that song and video, She's My Cherry Pie?
People think about that, but I think about when I was watching the VH1 documentary, and then he was just all, her, I want her. He like saw you right away. He's all, that girl. And they just called you, and then you were there for the video.
That's you amazing. Saw the Rock Doc.
I did.
I co-wrote that, and it won Rock Doc of the year that year.
It was so good.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I didn't know you co-wrote that.
Yeah. Oh, we're not
getting it. I don't know. Something's going on. Yeah. But apparently it's all going through my mic. And
I don't know what's going to.
Anyway, so you co-wrote that?
Mm-hmm. And that's how Lorraine Lewis saw me to call me about Ex-Wives of Rock. Great. She saw that on Base One.
And they're doing the Ex-Wives of Rock?
They did it, didn't they? Or
it premiered on? Season 3 yesterday on Access TV.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And who you a fan?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm a fan of hot women. That's what I'm a fan of.
All right.
Whether it's somebody's ex or not, I like hot women.
And by the way, this is the way the show goes. We just started talking. You asked me if I had prepared questions for you. I do. But we might not get to any of them the way the conversation goes.
But look at Mark. He's starstruck. I've rarely ever seen you starstruck before.
No, I'm
trying. How can you tell?
He's stumbling.
I'm trying to give her the eye. Yes, but I've met Bobby Brown before. I just told the story, but that's what my question was for you is that. I had two questions. One, I mean, obviously you've done other things. You're a writer and you've done your documentary and mm-hmm. you've acted, you've done all sorts of things, but that's, I mean, when it comes down to it, that's what people know you from.
Cherry pie.
Yeah. I mean, does that bother you or does that?
No, not at all. I mean, I wouldn't be here if that bothered me, right?
You wouldn't be on the Dark Mark show. Well, you probably would be, but you wouldn't be on the Dark Mark show if you weren't.
It's what's had the most longevity and I can't be mad at that. I mean, it's still why I have a job. Right. Really?
Well, I thought you were very good in that documentary.
Thank you.
You're the one I remember.
Yeah, I did the voiceover and I co-wrote it and it was cool. But it was, it was cool.
And the other thing is, now, that wasn't the only rock video that you were in.
No.
You were in Great Whites, Once Been Twice Shy. You were in a Hurricane video.
Yeah.
Why Cherry Pie? Why did that stick out and become such a cultural icon and the other ones didn't?
It was the smile.
It could have been the short shorts and the boobs too and the half shirt maybe.
I think it was definitely that cherry smile. Really?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't really know what it was. All I know is when I saw the video, I was in it as much or if not more than the band. And I was like, whoa, because nobody really does that. And I was like, that's crazy.
Right.
And it just, you know, heavy rotation. It just was number one and played so often that, and it was very sexist, you know, you have to admit. And so then there was a lot of animosity about it from the women's libbers, which caused more, you know, when people talk shit about stuff, it causes more fame for it.
I mean, I grew up in a time with like Mortal Kombat and a bunch of women who are badass and like half naked. And I don't feel your femininity should affect being a powerful woman. In fact, I think it should enhance it.
Exactly. And I totally concur. So
I think that makes four of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please be strong and be naked. We like that.
Yeah, well, I wasn't naked.
No, that's what she was saying. Yeah, she grew up with naked women.
Half naked.
Yeah. I mean.
We'll get half naked. We'll go with that. That's okay.
Sex sells. I don't care who says it, where, when, why. It just does.
I mean, the Kardashians are proof of that.
Hello. Right? Hello.
I can't believe they're the biggest stars in the world, and we're able to get you on the Dark Mark show. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, well. You know,
I would rather interview her than a Kardashian.
Well,
thank you.
If you had booked a Kardashian, I wouldn't come into the studio, Mark, just a heads up.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry. We're gonna have Kourtney Kardashian next week. But the other thing was when that video was out and when you were at the peak of fame, Bobby Brown, the My Prerogative singer rapper Bobby Brown, the guy that got Whitney Houston on crack, he became a big star.
Yeah, he was a big star already. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, then. And so your names are the same. Did that cause any confusion?
He was at my wedding.
He really was? Oh, you guys are friends?
Well, we're not friends. I saw him out at a club one night and he was like, hey, Bobby Brown, do you want to dance with Bobby Brown? And I was like, okay.
Smooth.
So, yeah, right. And so he was asking questions about me and I told him, he's like, so why's your name Bobby Brown? You know, I said I was named after my father, which I was, Bobby Jean Brown, but just spelled differently.
Right.
And he goes, oh, when I have a daughter one day, I'm going to do the same thing.
And he did.
Yeah. He did.
And then there's a makeup artist, Bobby Brown, isn't there?
Yeah. People always go, I'll go on an interview for some job and they'll be like, I wear your makeup. I'm like, if that was me, do you think I would be here? Like, for real.
And let me introduce you to
You should make your own makeup line.
Right? It's so hard. I've tried doing that. It's really hard to get into it. You have to have money to make money like that.
Right.
I don't have that kind of money.
Interesting.
You know?
We'll see what we can do. We'll get a GoFundMe for you so we can get Bobby Brown cherry pie makeup line.
I'm down to
see. I've even got
get
the title
funded for shit these days.
Yes, we'll get the
trust and know that
Indiegogo campaign. Now, so somebody, I'm going to introduce you to the young man right here who this is Orpheus Black, and Orpheus Black trust me, when he's on the show, the shows are always great.
Okay.
They're always great. We just had the top 10 moments of Dark Mark show from 2015. I posted that online. I don't know if you saw it, Orpheus, but you were on there.
I did.
You were setting a cupcake on fire.
I'm a media whore.
Yes.
Are you all about setting stuff on fire? Is that your thing?
That's me.
Cupcake's a that's person, me. By the
so
way.
You just like to catch things on fire.
No, no, I'm not a pyro.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
No, I do erotic fire painting, so I paint fire onto women.
That's crazy. I never even knew that was a thing.
Oh, it's a huge fetish.
I had no idea.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite things.
That's insane. So you get off on it, too. Are you just, you know just what? Entertain I, people that do?
I get off on having the control and the power and being someone who's regarded as an innovator of fire play.
Okay.
So I enjoy that part of it, but yeah. It's not like it gets my dick hard.
Yeah, ooh, yeah.
Can I say right. that?
You can say anything you want. We encourage profanity.
Yeah, yeah. But it does get people's dicks hard.
Oh,
yeah,
it does. That's it does. Insane. And I love to be watched, so right. I'm a total exhibitionist.
Actually,
my dick's hard right now.
Arson is
right?
very closely linked to sexuality to begin with, so it lighting is. People on fire is definitely erotic.
Yeah, okay.
And by the way, that's a moment of intelligence by Nicole Six. We try to have one on every show. But
No, I need to know those things.
But Orpheus not only is if you're ever in the fetish scene in LA, he's hard to miss.
Never have been, but I will keep an eye out.
Well, yeah. Well, if we go out after the show or we hang out and we'll take you some clothes. We'll show you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm prepared for all that tonight, but you know.
Not tonight, but when your arm heals, we'll figure it out.
Oh.
But,
Gene Simmons was at a couple of the clubs. I mean, Dennis Rodman and...
Yeah, I don't know if Gene Simmons is a ringing endorsement.
Some of them just like to watch.
Some of them just like to watch. You
yeah.
know? And I like to be watched, you know?
Right. Yeah. Did he stick out of your tongue while you were doing the fire play? Or?
You know what? He's all into the ladies.
Right.
So he didn't pay me any attention.
I would hope not. But but Orpheus is experiencing some fame beyond the fetish scene.
Oh, yeah?
And that he was featured in Neil Strauss's book,
cool.
The Truth.
Neil Strauss, I did his roundtable interview.
Right,
yeah, I was on his show a couple times too.
Yeah.
So, and apparently, so the truth, if you not know, now Neil Strauss is a writer and he did the Dirt, which you were featured in. He's done Marilyn Manson's autobiographies, but
he did Jenna Jameson.
Jenna Jameson, yeah. But his big book was The Game, where he got into the pickup lines.
Huge book.
And this is basically the sequel in that he got so far into the game that he was trying to explore swinging. And polyamorous lifestyles. And he apparently, from what I read, ran into you at a polygamy convention?
Actually, it was a conference.
They have polygamy conferences.
It's not polygamy. It's poly.
Okay,
it's polyamorous.
Okay.
There's a difference. You know, no, polygamy has a religious overtone to it.
Right.
And this has nothing to do with religion at all. It's just consensual adults.
It's the concept
who,
that you can love multiple people at one time.
Exactly. And I'm a polygynist, not a polygamist. So there's a difference. So.
Okay.
I didn't know that. And I don't think he did either.
I don't think a lot of people
did. You know what? And, you know, for better or worse, I got to say, it was a good book. I hate what he said about me, but it was
a
good book.
What did he say?
He said
Peter.
He compared me to a cult leader.
Oh my goodness!
Wow,
I don't get that vibe from you at all.
Well, yeah, that's
but I do get that vibe from some of the women that you've played with and that
what?
That you've I've told you before when you do the play, it's a lot more intense than a lot of people in the S&M scene. I've seen some interesting submission and some interesting orgasms and
so
other
he's
things.
Saying you're really good at your job.
Yes.
But cult, it does not make me a cult leader.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody that's not in the lifestyle and doesn't know anything about
it. They would just be like, how does he have this captivating power?
Yeah.
Not understanding the concept of dominance and submission, which is you only have that power because the submissives are giving it to you.
But you know, we've had this conversation. Me and him.
We've had this conversation
on
the show too. Yeah.
All the time.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And we've had long, deep conversations about it prior to when he was still in the inception phase of that book.
Right.
So he knew.
So you're like, why would you even say that? Because you already know me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he compared me to like the 70s cult leader, Master Yod, which I bought MasterYod.com because why not? He kept calling me Master Yod throughout the book. And I was like, who is Yod?
Oh, wait a second. So you were Master Yod too?
Is Master Yod?
Okay. Well, wait
Master
a second.
Master Yod was a cult leader in SoCal in the 50s and 60s.
Huh.
And he had a huge compound, free love.
Do you feel like it was kind of an insult?
You know what? I don't know what it was intended as because as soon as the book dropped, he stopped accepting my phone calls.
That's so weird.
Well, yeah. Well, this is weird because I read the
Did
book.
Did you steal someone he wanted to sleep with?
No.
That's bizarre.
No, but this is weird because I read the book and he does refer to you as Orpheus Black. But Master Yod's a different character. But you're both.
No, he's comparing me to Master Yod.
Right, I remember that.
So that's what I'm saying. In comparing me to a cult leader,
right?
You know, he's making an indirect comparison.
Well, I don't know. When I read the book, I mean, I know that he started in a different line of more of a new agey religious. And then when he met you, he sort of saw there was a different side to it. That's what I got from it. And then
he called me crazy.
Well, you look. Well, you know, I no comment on that. But basically, the end of the book. I don't want to spoil the end, but right. He's already spoiled it. It wasn't for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also thought he was a sex addict.
He went
to rehab for sex addiction. Wow. Now, do you think you're a sex addict?
No.
No. And why would you be? Why do you think he was a sex addict?
No.
No.
He wanted to be a sex addict.
Do you believe in the concept of sex addiction?
I believe it becomes an addiction when you can't get it. When you become, you know,
I can relate to that.
Let's talk about like functioning addicts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? As long as they have the money to acquire whatever they need, they usually don't have an issue.
Right.
Right. They're usually functional. So most people with a high sex drive are usually functional because they can get it on a regular basis.
Right.
The problem is when you don't have the avenue to get it and the things you're willing to go through to attain it, right. Rape, molestation, things, you know, things of this nature, you know, beating off in weird places.
Right.
That becomes a problem. You know what I mean? Right. So I don't necessarily believe in the idea of sex addiction.
And speaking of that, I'll be right back. No, go ahead.
But I am a fan of people embracing their sexuality in all its forms.
Right.
I often say that when it comes to it, it's all about satisfaction. So if you're getting your needs met in any relationship, be it polyamorous or if it's monogamous, then you're satisfied. When you're not satisfied, you start looking at other avenues to satisfy you, which is any addiction.
And to go along that question, how do you know how many is enough for you? One's enough for me, and I understand. No, how many partners
right now? So I
mean, no, how many partners is enough?
How many partners are enough for me? You know what? Two are enough for me, but how many is enough for my wife?
Is that what it is?
Well, I mean, you know,
I know couples. I've been invited to threesomes with couples where it's like, they won't seek outside the relationship, but they will often bring a partner back, and that's part of what they like.
That's
what
we love.
It's usually the girl who initiates it, not the guy.
I love sharing women with my wife. It is one of my number one fetishes. So if a woman is interested in both of us, that's great.
Right.
If we come to terms or in agreement with somebody who's just interested in her, and I like the person and she likes the person, I'm cool with that too.
Right.
And so, you know, we find that a total of three for me is good. You know, me, my wife, and her partner, and my partner.
Okay,
that's usually where I cap it.
Okay, but you have more, or have you carried it down?
No, we've actually reduced.
Right, because last time I remember last year when you were on, you were saying there was like five or.
Well, you have a double king size bed, right? I remember this because I just watched the top 10 video.
Yeah. I do not have a double king size bed anymore.
Okay.
I've reduced. Right now it's just me and my wife.
Oh, wow.
See, so nobody ever gets jealous or like...
Oh, everybody gets jealous.
That's what I'm saying. Like, jealousy, a lot of drama.
The problem is jealousy is not an issue. It's what you allow jealousy to make you do is the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? If jealousy made you have deep, meaningful conversations or talk or spend more time with your partner, we wouldn't even acknowledge it. But when it makes you key up somebody's car, you know, when it makes you stalk somebody, then jealousy becomes an issue. So it's not jealousy itself. Mm-hmm. It's the lack of self-control that's the problem. And we're using jealousy as the scapegoat for bad behavior.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming that... there's probably been maybe once or twice where a woman has given Indy, your beautiful wife, an orgasm and you heard a different sound than when you give her an orgasm.
Oh, yes.
Does that make you jealous?
Yes.
Yes.
But you know what? But when it happens, I'm like, I'm in there. I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, you're sweating.
How your hands are, what's going on? I need to know what it is.
Right. Show me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because if you can do something I can't do, I need to learn that trick.
Well, that's because you are the dom and you get off on the power. So you need to know that so you can inflict it yourself.
Exactly. And I don't want to say inflict it because it's such a flex. I'm going to inflict orgasms upon you.
Who have you been dating lately, Nicole? Who's been inflicting things on you?
I am into that. Whatever.
Yeah. But, you know, I have had that. And I'm telling you, I'm a jealous person. I don't experience compersion.
Right.
You know, I've never really had that. So me being in a polyamorous relationship is a constant state of work.
Right.
You know,
you've said that before.
Yeah. It's work. It's hard work.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I don't know how to live any other way.
Okay.
You know, I knew I was going to be this way when I was a small child.
Right.
You know, and actually the first relationship, and maybe I said this before, I was in a relationship with a girl and her boy and her, my best friend were in a kind of relationship together.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And y'all all three would have sexual relationships?
No, this is before we were sexual. This
is my
when
gosh.
We were still holding hands and puppy love kind of thing, you know? So, and that was my first foray into the poly world. But I realized at that point in time that this is how I was going to live the rest of my life.
Right. And because getting back to adolescence and childhood, now you grew up in Baton Rouge. You were born in Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge. I lived in New Orleans just for a few months, not too long back. Baton Rouge is very nice.
Yeah.
And you lived in Florida for a while?
I never lived in Florida.
Okay, I don't know. Oh, I guess we're bond. I was trying to, when I met her at a 99 cent store, I was trying to bond on everything. I'm like, oh, we're both sort of from the South. Okay, but you grew up in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And you were a Miss Teen USA winner?
Louisiana, yeah.
Of Louisiana. So,
and then I was second runner-up to Miss Teen USA.
So how was it being a pageant model? And you were you 16 or 15?
Yeah, I wasn't a model then. That was my first pageant ever won. And then I went did that. I wasn't like a typical pageant girl like all the other ones. I didn't get that whole vibe, like, right. You know, the permagrin and the... And the fakeness, I was like, what is up with these bitches?
And hence you had great success.
I did. I was just myself and really natural. And I guess maybe it was a change of pace, a fresh, you know, fresh breath of air. Who knows why I won, but I did. And that was it. I got to say my thing, like, I want to go to LA and be a model. And then I got some calls, and that was just the beginning.
Now, wait, side note. Yeah. Where did she get the Red Zappo ale from?
Oh, we got some. Yeah.
I'll grab one. I bought some. I'll grab one from the fridge. You guys keep talking.
Yeah, and you are killing me with this top over here.
It's my Valentine's Day top.
I'm liking it. It is Happy Valentine's Day. Now, were your parents? Were they like? Were they like pageant moms or?
No. My mom wasn't allowed. I mean, she tried to be.
Did you want another one too? Or?
No, I'm good. Right.
Oh, okay.
She tried to be like I was. She was definitely a stage mom, but I wasn't really doing all that much. But she's definitely a stage mom and. So she was excited about that whole thing. And I came out here when I graduated high school, started modeling.
So she didn't push it, but she didn't discourage it.
She didn't not push it.
Right.
You know, like.
But it wasn't Little Miss Sunshine or anything like that.
Didn't not push it, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like these, like, weird pageant.
Put it this way, there was no, like, backup plan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they had groomed you for, this is how they're kind of, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think we had a backup plan either. I was definitely going to be a writer. You're definitely going to be a comedian, right?
I there were plenty of backup plans for me, but but you were the I'll have to, for our younger viewers and listeners, I'll have to preface this, and there was a show in the 80s. It was called Star Search.
Yeah,
kind of like
love Star Search.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, you know who? And remember, Star Search had a spokesmodel competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the first ever spokesmodel winner of the year was?
Did not know that.
That was Bobby.
Well, I actually didn't win.
I thought you won.
No, I never won the 100,000, but I won more times than any category on any competition and any show ever of Star Search. I won 13 times in a row and then lost the 100 grand.
Wait. You won 13 times in a row and then, like, the grand finale you lost?
Uh-huh.
Who beat you out?
They had to find the person that had won the most against me, which she had won 3 times, to bring back. They had no one to compete against me. And then she won, supposedly. I heard that there was some judge bribing going on, and did I want to...
Was she sucking that big man's dick? What?
I don't know, but when they said, did I want to do anything about it or press the issue, like look into it, I said no, because I didn't want to be like a sore loser. Because I got so much work from being on for consecutively for a year anyway.
Right.
I mean, it was kind of a bummer, that I lost 100 grand, but... In actuality, like, nobody ever heard from her ever again.
You probably got 100 grand worth of work.
Yeah.
And like I say, everybody, I mean, when you say Star Search spokesmodel, your name comes up and nobody knows who it is.
X Factor, the winner never does anything, but the first runner up is always like this huge famous person.
Right.
It's kind of like that.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I would have lost my shit. I would have been angry. I might not have pressed the issue right there on stage. Right.
I was shocked. And I was kind of like, because he went to go say my name before even opening the envelope because he assumed I'd won. So I kind of stood there and I was like, did you fuck up? Like, what's going on? Because he was like, Bobby, Debbie James. And I was like, And so then I went backstage and I just looked at everybody who kind of become my family and just started crying, I was sad and then locked myself in the room for like an hour. Because I didn't know how I felt humiliated and whatever, so I don't know.
I was going to say Ed McMahon was drunk too, but that didn't help.
Ed McMahon was always peeled out and wasted for sure.
Really? I mean, I thought it was just bullshit.
You didn't read my book, did you?
I did. I didn't. I was.
You must. I talk about it, like, because my roommate was fucking him at the time.
What?
And he was so creepy.
Ed,
like,
got that kind of pussy?
So gross. He would come down, like, we'd have to go do this hosting thing because I was really popular for the show in Vegas.
Right.
And she was there with him at this, the Golden Nugget, and I was at the bum hotel down the street.
Right.
And she's like, Ed's wasted on pills. And he said, we could take his credit card and go shopping. Come to the hotel. I go over there. I'm like, fuck yeah. And I get there. And he comes down the stairs like with a tube sock with a rock in it, like butt naked, like, hey, what's that? And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, so gross. And we took their credit card and we spent like $15,000.
Right.
I kid you not.
Well, I know you have that kind of cash, so he didn't miss it, I'm sure.
Oh no. I don't even think he even knew. Like, it was just so weird, but I was
and
like...
there's your answer, Mark.
Yeah.
Correlation. You can get that kind of, I'm going to call it vagina, in exchange for that kind of money.
I mean, yeah.
Well, gee, thanks, Nicole. Just in a roundabout way, you compared me to Ed fucking McMahon. Thanks a lot, but I appreciate that.
You in general, anybody, including women, I suppose.
Hey, Mark,
Mark's
getting laid.
No, I'm getting laid. I'm getting laid. Stop.
Getting laid on
it's all. It's all an act. It's all an act. But so and then now so you were living in LA at the time that you were doing the spokesmodel thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the 80s metal scene fascinates me.
Okay.
The Sunset Strip 80s metal scene. And I know before the show you and Nicole were bonding because she's on the Sunset Strip now.
Yeah, yeah.
You're on the Sunset Strip. But the Sunset Strip now is not like it was then.
Not even close.
I mean, please bring us into that,
not
that
even
world.
Close. It was so decadent and like it was just, oh, it was like packed all the time and flyers and bands trying to get their shit going. And it was just like this whole scene where the big hair and the makeup and the dudes looked like the chicks. And it was just... it was just crazy. It was a crazy time. All guys had long hair. It was just all about the scene in the clubs. You'll never go to a club now and like have that much fun.
I'm sure.
That we did back then. You know what I mean? Like now I'm just like, God. But it was so, it was pretty awesome. It was a great time. But
and coming from Baton Rouge to that.
Yeah, there were no, but I mean, like you just didn't consider repercussions or, you know, back
right.
then you're just like, all fuck it. You know, this is going down.
Right.
You know, and I used to be back then the most, you know, the sad about something. And then now I look back on those horrible times as like the most fun I ever had.
Right. Like,
you know,
you couldn't get a ride and now you're like,
just
fuck
anything.
Why
like,
would I not? Why
just back
ride?
Then just like, what was me kicking rocks, right. like making 10 grand a day and like, you know, whatever the fuck, you know,
damn
being
it,
spoiled.
She started my line and all that.
You know,
yeah.
just dumb shit and like so bummed for nothing. And now I look back and go, that was so stupid. And that was so much fun, you know.
It was an amazing time. It'll never be duplicated.
Yeah,
it was a culture.
It was wild.
Yeah.
It was decadent. It was just wild. It was just you know.
As much as people try to you know,
it was carefree.
Put it down and but
no,
it was a definite cultural revolution.
Completely. Yeah.
And it's taken you know all this time to people to get in context, but it was a real. It was as real a sexual and cultural revolution as the 60s or 70s.
Yeah. And fully drugged,
and
too.
Musical revolution.
Just a different drug, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was the thing. And, but, I mean, it used to get shit on because I know it was coming after punk or you know, all the critics were older, so they're like, ah, this is fucking stupid. But it stood the test of time.
Yeah.
I mean, and the kids now are trying to...
They just love it now.
No one really understood it, but from being on the Strip, it's worldwide. Mm-hmm. Like, every country in the world knows about the Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
Particularly, I mean, with Lemmy's passing, we had... thousands of people on the Strip just all over and coming from all over the world.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone knew it at the time. And I don't think it gets the respect that it should have, but it definitely formed an entire generational culture.
Yeah.
It informed the 90s. It formed the 90s. It formed the early 2000s. And I think it's going to form a whole new generation because it just keeps
probably
influencing art the same way like Bowie did. It just... constantly influencing
a good segue. Now, did Lemmy or Bowie ever hit on you? I'm sure they did.
I actually never met Bowie ever. I've met Lemmy a few times. Never hit on me.
Oh really? Okay. Yeah.
Well,
I know you couldn't get past the warts, but I'm sure he probably was like.
Yeah, but I had a friend who was really close with him. It was really good friends with Jimmy Bain, who just recently passed. And
oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
He died on the...
he used to play bass for Dio, right?
Yeah, and he just died on the a cruise, like a rock cruise.
Oh, that sucks.
What was that?
It's Monsters of Rock? That's
I don't know if it was that one.
Motorhead has a cruise.
It literally was like within the past 2 weeks.
Wow.
Whatever the last rock
I think it was
cruise,
Monsters of Rock.
Maybe so.
What changed
to
where rock stars and metal bands have cruises
Let
now.
Me tell you something. I was invited to that cruise 2 years ago, and I backed out at the last second to go finish my book. And my girlfriend Athena, who plays for Femme Fatale, was on it, and she goes, it's like being locked in the closet with all your fans. You can't escape. You can't. All these people are there for this one reason, right? And they're all fans of this one genre. And you and like, if you want to go get food... You know, you got to run into, you can't not be stopped 20 times. Like, she's like, I kind of wanted to stay in my room the whole time, but I couldn't. Like, and I go, I'm so glad I didn't go because I get freaked out like that. Like, I get claustrophobic and,
The people that survived the Sunset Strip 80s, now they've got money. They've got, you know, they're They're jumping on trainers. And they're not want to go on a cruise.
That's exactly what happened. Like, there was a Motorhead cruise.
Yeah, yeah, they all have them now. They all
do. And that kind of sucks that he died on a cruise. But then again,
he did. After
it's kind of cool,
his final
though.
Show, he, and apparently wow. he rocked it and was amazing.
Well, that's kind of cool. He did what he loves to do.
He'd just been sober for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. And,
oh, that happens a lot.
Yeah, and then he died. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, speaking of decadence, because I was in Vegas at the AVN Awards.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was asking where you were, because you were not at the AVN Awards. That's Orpheus Black.
No, I was winning a competition, another leather competition.
I was going to ask about that. Now, in addition to being an AVN nominee, mm-hmm. Urban X, have you won an Urban X already?
Nope. Urban
Are you
X.
in porn?
I've done porn, yes.
Okay. But and he's also an award winning storyteller, dirty storyteller.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But he just won, you and your wife.
Yes.
Just won a leather competition.
Yeah, we won Southwest Leather Competition.
What does that mean?
Okay, basically what that means is I've been elected by a body of people in the community to go out and represent and talk to people who are not kinky about the community.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave me the whole Southwest region. They give me money. I go out, I teach, I lecture, and we talk to people and tell them how to do kink safely and how to live in this lifestyle and how to have successful alternative lifestyle relationships.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, education.
And is this the first time you or Indy have won Miss
no,
and Mrs. Leather?
No, we're two-time SoCal Leather Champions.
Now, would there have been a situation where one of you won and the other didn't?
No.
Was that possible? Or it has to be the couple?
We go up as a team and we leave as a team. And, you know, and even if I won and she didn't, I wouldn't take it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? We're ride or die. You know, that's me. That's right. My heart all day.
Right. I got to say, I mean, it's been a couple of years interviewing you now. You guys have a really healthy relationship. We should have both of them on the show.
Well, I think it's the first time that she's been in the studio with us, actually.
Yeah,
oh, is that?
This is the first time.
That's
Indy. You've never met Indy. There she is. See how beautiful she is?
Hi.
Yes, that's Indy. That is Orpheus' wife, Indy. She's sitting in the other room.
Yeah, but, we do everything. I call it the Owen Indigo Show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just we do... I love doing everything with my wife. I don't care what it is. I go to the bathroom. She
well, looking at her, I don't blame
whatever.
You.
I don't care. But yeah, so we won these titles together so we can go out and spend time lecturing together. Because I do a lot of teaching,
mm-hmm.
and I do a lot of things where people focus on me.
Right.
But they don't realize that the reason I am this person is because she allowed me to work and to exercise my thoughts and my parameters mm-hmm. with her.
Right.
You know, she's my Ginger Rogers, you know.
And she. How long have you been married?
20 years.
It's
good to have a support system or somebody that supports you and lifts you up.
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
Especially if that support system lets you fuck other girls and has other girls. Yeah. Her too.
You got to stop that perspective because everybody looks at it from my point of view, but she's fucking girls too.
I just said because she fucks girls too. That's the other thing I was saying.
As I said, I've always been invited by like. The girl picks out usually the other partner anytime I've been invited to join a couple.
Well, I'm still the one that scores.
Really? You do the picking out?
I don't do the picking out, but I just happen to be the one that gets the girls. I'm usually the one bringing home.
Right.
Yeah, that didn't work out for me when I tried it before.
So you have tried that.
Oh, yeah. You need to get my book.
I need to get your book.
How many times I have to tell you? No, Dirty Rocker Boys.
Dirty Rocker Boys. Get it on Audible through darkmarkshow.com. Yeah. But I will, I really want your book. And I'll send you my address. I'll pay for whatever you.
You don't have to pay for it.
We're going
to
do a book exchange. It's going to happen.
If you could autograph for me.
Yeah, I'll get your address and your info.
Absolutely. But Nicole was very very impressed with the way the thing that she loved about the documentary is how you met Janie Lane, the late Janie Lane, the lead singer Warren.
Oh, you saw the documentary?
Father of your.
When did you see it?
College, probably.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say it's nowhere online. I can't find it anywhere now.
I was telling him that. I'm like, it was VH1, so it was a while ago. I was trying to explain that I won't remember all of it.
I love VH1.
Yeah.
I love VH1.
Really? Yeah. Even now, I don't know what they're doing now.
You know, it's not the way it used to be, but I used to love pop-up videos and all the Where Are They Now and all the rockumentaries.
Right.
I learned so much from that damn show.
Right. But apparently how you met Janie Lane was he picked you out of the audience and said, I want her.
Not out of the audience.
No. Okay. You tell the story.
He saw me on Star Search. And he and Tommy had a bet who was going to get to me first.
Tommy Lee?
Uh-huh. And so that's how that went down. But he saw me on Star Search and they had his people contacted me to be in the video.
Which one got to you first?
Janie.
There you go.
Because he contacted me to be in his video.
Now, had you had flings with rock stars beforehand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Not flings. I had relationships. Right. Like, I was not a groupie.
Okay.
People like to call me a groupie, but I was never, like, backstage going, come on, pick me to get fucked. Like, but, I was never that girl.
But you were in Great White videos, but you weren't fucking them, were you?
No way. Okay.
All right.
No way.
Hurricane, you weren't.
No way.
Hurricane.
No way. Okay. No way. I dated Matthew Nelson and...
Whoa, wait a second. Nelson.
Yeah. He was the first rocker I dated.
They never tried to do...
They showed up at Star Search. And the brother, and we're like, either one of us will take you. Either one of us.
So they beat Janie Lane and Tommy Lee.
That was before I'd ever met them.
You said Nelson, and I had all kinds of judgment reserved for some reason.
I have new admiration for the Nelson guy. Now, I have... They never tried to do the switch the twin thing on you, did they?
They tried to do the threesome thing, but I wasn't having that. Yeah.
That's weird.
You and the two twins.
It wasn't my thing.
Who both had long blonde hair like you.
Wasn't my thing.
I don't know. Right. I'd say no, right. But it's weird.
Yeah, I just.
You'd say no to them now.
Well, yeah, I just got but I mean, out of if that. Like hot twins, asked, I don't know.
Well, Gunnar was a dick, and Matthew was nice. Okay. And I just left the whole freaky deaky, the one I did the threesome with before. And that's the whole reason I went for the nice guy. After that, I was like, I'm not doing that.
I like nice guys. And I like nice, funny guys.
Me too. That's my thing.
And speaking as a nice, funny guy. Because I was going to say, I was like, Nelson. But then I was thinking, Janie Lane had the long blonde hair, too.
Isn't really my thing. Right? Believe it or not, even though I married him. But I usually am attracted to darker haired, like, you know,
right.
looking.
Right.
Shocking that. Right.
So what I have left is dark.
Right. So you prefer dark hair?
Yeah. Like I'm not initially drawn to a blonde before a guy with dark hair. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
it's swarthy.
Yes. But
I don't pursue guys though. Really, they have to pursue.
So he's probably on Star Search. So how did you end up meeting him? How did you? How was the first day with Janie?
I didn't go on the casting because I was hungover, and then they called and said that I didn't show up.
Right.
I was like, God. So then I showed up the next day at Jerry's Deli while he was eating with his people, and I just walked in. They're like, okay, you have the part. That was it.
Were you a fan?
I didn't even know who they were.
Really?
Yes. I didn't know. And then when we were on the set, they were like talking about, you know, that song Heaven, because that was like their big hit back then. And I was like, oh my God, you guys see that song? And they were like, oh God, yeah. I didn't know who they were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this was the Cherry Pie video.
Yeah.
That was the first that you met him, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. being cast in that video. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he was like, he wanted that.
Right.
And then he made that happen.
I had no idea.
And that became their biggest hit. And apparently, from what I understand, he was not too happy about that because that wasn't not necessarily the best song and not necessarily
when you're
song.
A writer and you're a singer and that's what you do, like to have, you know, the anthem song that was like, you know, very poppy, the one song that you wrote like on the toilet 15 minutes before handed in, you know, the whole album. Become the only thing that you're known for.
Right.
Kind of bothered him. A little bit.
I put my heart and soul into heaven, and everybody just sings Cherry Pie.
Yeah, you know. So he was just kind of like, God, I wish people would recognize me for my other good songs.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
He has a lot of good ones.
No, he does. I'm kidding. But yeah, from what I understand, that like the album is actually supposed to be called Uncle Tom's Cabin, and there's a song called Uncle Tom's Cabin. Mm-hmm. That's actually a better song than Cherry Pie, but they're like, we don't have a hit, so
they didn't want to come out with like such a, you know, serious type of song. But it was a huge hit too. But they just wanted.
I think Orpheus has a theory on the Uncle Tom's Cabin not going over, but
that
wouldn't go over 80s metal.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I'm kind of not feeling
it's
that.
It's a disgruntled topic, I think. Yeah.
Maybe now, but I think 1980.
I know it's gonna be cute Orpheus here.
You know me. I don't miss an African American reference going your way. But,
I didn't even know that till I read about it later. I was like, I didn't know it was based on a book, right?
Right.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
The title of the show is The Education of White People. That's what we're doing.
Well, I'm from Louisiana, and they're not hip on trying to educate us on that type of stuff.
One, a book about the education of African-American slaves at the time.
Yeah. For real. Like, in my high school, we had Slave Day. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. Like,
are you serious?
No, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Like, so they weren't, you know, I'm completely not prejudiced whatsoever, but I have family members that totally are. I dated a guy who was black. Once, and they didn't speak to me for 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like they're still behind the times down south, still in some places.
But tell me about Slave Day.
I don't even recall it, really.
It's not
but
what you're thinking, Mark.
You got to have a slave for the day, but I just thought it was tacky.
Okay, that's exactly exactly what
I thought it was tacky for, you know, to even say that.
I think we had something like that in my high school, but they didn't call it slave. They called it something else.
Yeah, in Louisiana, they're like, they're just still tacky, like behind the times. Still.
But probably in Louisiana, they got to whip them. I don't know. In my school, I don't know.
That's horrible.
All
right.
Like, my brother had
I'm kidding, obviously.
I get another beer for this conversation. Yeah.
Please, Jeremy, no. Yeah. Let's get off slave day. Okay.
They're just uneducated, and that's all.
I'm so sorry, Arfius.
But, don't be offended.
No,
you're not offending him. I'm offending him.
Perhaps whipping and... Orpheus? I don't know. Let's just transition to Orpheus for a second.
Right. So,
is that quick? Think of a segue. Jesus. Come on.
I was trying to get off.
It's so borderline. It's disturbing.
I was trying to. Can we get two more
rounds,
please?
He wants another beer.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was trying to get the. I was trying to get the subject altogether. But now, Jamie Lane. Now you.
They're in the freezer. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. Jeremy's getting them.
Oh, good. They're in. I put them in the freezer. You might want to take them out so they don't blow up.
Yeah. So.
And I'll take another one too. Go ahead.
Yeah. So two more reds if you can, Jeremy. So anyway, I think Jeremy just fell off a stool, and I don't know what's going on. But no, you went without Janie Lane for quite a long time.
It was 3 years total.
Right, and your daughter is the father.
Yes, she's 24 now.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeremy.
I apologize for the last 3 minutes.
Saving me from this racist conversation.
Yes, I apologize for the last 3 minutes. So, cheers. Yes. Yeah, Orpheus, cheers. You too.
Cheers, thank you.
Now.
What's up, Giggle? Okay. What's going on?
That was just so much.
No. I'm trying to get past. Now, you went out with 3 years. It didn't work out.
Right.
But we have a beautiful daughter who apparently chokes people in school.
Not anymore. That was in sixth grade.
All right. And Orpheus missed that one.
Yeah.
So.
I'll show you a picture. Go ahead.
We're discussing choking now. Yeah, exactly. We're discussing you.
Right. We're listening.
We never grew out of it.
Now, how quickly after you break up with Janie Lane does Tommy Lee start dating you?
I was still married when I was modeling in Miami, and he was dating my roommate. And so we were all hanging out. And little did I know that he was like crushing on me big time or whatever, because I was separated at the time. I went back home and then he called and left a message. I was still trying to make it work with Janie. Mm-hmm. And then I went to rehab, came out, and Janie and I were done. And he was like, he told Charisse Neal, who had a club at the time, like, I'm dying, you know, to see Bobby, blah, blah, blah. And so she called me and she was like, Tommy Lee's just been talking about you for months. And I'm like, oh, geez, I didn't know that. Right. So we hung out and, you know, of course, hit it off. And I mean, I had a crush on him in high school before I even met him.
Right.
Like, I told him the story. When we were looking at houses, I'm like, I used to have you on my wall. Posters of you on my wall. He's like, no fucking way. Really? Cool.
Guys love when he said it. Really? He didn't even play it cool? Like, of course he did.
No, he's a big dork. He's a big dork.
And actually, when I mentioned that we were talking about that, because I asked you, I'm like, what's his secret? I don't get it. And, you know, I saw the video. I mean, his dick's not that big. What's the secret? And you're like, he's a real nice guy.
He's nice and funny.
Yeah, he's nice and all that stuff. But until you get him, he gets you on lockdown, then it's not so fun.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It becomes
territorial.
Completely controlling. Right. Completely. Yeah. And that's hard.
Well, you said he looks like a rock star, but he's like a regular guy. That's basically what you said.
He's a spoiled brat, is what he is.
I guess he changed.
He's very spoiled, but like, you know, he's got to have his way or, you know, it's not going to go down.
Right. Because you were in between Heather Locklear and Pamela Anderson.
That's right.
And I would say the best of the three, if you're asking
me. Well, thank you very much.
I don't know what he's thinking. And Jeremy's been screaming in my ear, and I was telling you about this because I Googled you to get a picture of you before the show.
Of me?
Yes.
Okay.
And the first thing that popped up, you dated... the person is probably going to win the Academy Award this year.
No, Leonardo DiCaprio. You need to read the fucking book.
Okay.
I did not date him.
Well, what happens?
Jesus, I'm not telling you. You got to read it. It's the first freaking chapter. Not even going to tell you.
The first chapter is Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yep. First paragraph, probably. He's only like 20, this long in the book. But people made such a big deal about it because it was him.
It's Leonardo DiCaprio, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, whatever happened, did
you? I'm not telling you. You got to read it.
No, but let me get past that, please.
Okay.
Put this back with the slave contract.
All right.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
No, but did your publisher say, put that in the beginning?
No, I just told all my stories. I had to take stuff out. They were like, whoa, that's too hectic. I just sat with my ghostwriter and we would talk for hours. She would stay over and she just would put in, you know, whatever, but it was nothing specific. He wasn't like, you got to be juicy. You got to do this. I like overtold and we had to pull back even.
Right.
You know,
I can see that now. The Orpheus and Bobby are getting a picture and that's a good one.
It was a good one.
It was nice.
So, I mean, with two beautiful people like that, how could it not be? But Leonardo, good for Leo. whatever happened.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to say it was good for Leo, I don't know. You got to read it.
I don't know, but well, you hung out with him, I would imagine.
Yeah, we got naked.
Really?
We did get naked, but like, it didn't work out that well.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what happens.
You're going to have to read the bookmark.
I'm
pretty much definitely figuring it out. Now, how old was he at the time?
He was a child.
Right.
I saw pictures from that time of us, and I'm like, oh my God, it's so humiliating. He was a child.
Gilbert Grape's like...
I mean, after that, but before, he was about to do Baz Luhrmann, the Romeo and Juliet.
Okay. Oh, wow, so young.
Pre-Titanic.
Yeah. Totally.
And apparently not that Titanic in bed.
No.
Well, he, in his defense, so
he was young.
He was Titanic. Don't get me wrong. He was bigger than expected. Like, really? That's the scary part. Wow. Like, he was really large.
Interesting.
But, you know, didn't really know what was up.
Right.
Like, didn't know. He was new and all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, I couldn't be tolerating it at the time. I was like, okay, great. Thanks for coming. Drive out.
So now.
Like,
you know. Jeez, yeah. Good looking, the biggest movie star in the world now.
Yeah.
You know he's got a big dick. And
yeah, you can't complain about that.
Garfield wasn't already attractive.
Right.
You can't complain about that.
I'll be rooting for somebody else for best actor this season.
Can I just say he is a gorgeous man, though?
He's grown into a gorgeous fucking man.
He's not ugly.
I'll tell you who else is gorgeous is Nicole Six.
Oh, thank you.
And,
yeah, she is.
And
absolutely gorgeous.
And with you know, it's
killing me with the cleavage over here.
Yeah, I can't believe we're almost running out of time.
Are we really?
I mean, we've just been talking, and most of it's been good. I fucked up a couple things, but
that's my daughter. She's making a funny face
beautiful.
There, but that's the idea.
Yeah, check that out.
Oh wow.
Yeah, she's being funny, but she is gorgeous.
And by the way, Orpheus, if I ever have a daughter, I'm not showing her a picture of her because I know it's going to happen.
I have standards.
Thank you. Not only do I look like Ed McMahon, now my daughter's going to be a fucking pig. But
interesting. That's what he took from that. He can take in so many things from that. I look like Ed McMahon.
No, trust me. I deserve everything I'm getting from Warfare
Somewhere.
But now, did you guys get together on a special Valentine's Day thing that you two were going to be doing?
I was going to get lit on fire.
Is that
I don't
still
know if we
happen?
Can do it, though. We couldn't find the right gear.
Can you do her legs? Can you do something? Can you do her cleavage?
They're very long.
I think what we're going to do.
You can light my cigarette.
Oh, hey.
I had all kinds of
there's an empty Reds bottle here.
I also brought my wife, who can be lit on fire. And the reason we were talking about it is because it's not as safe as doing the whole body.
Right.
Just doing the legs.
Right.
And I thought originally it was just like, you know, for sexy purposes. I didn't realize there was a scientific reason for lighting this area on fire.
Is there something you could do with Nicole, maybe?
We can try.
Maybe you could do with Nicole or something.
I don't know where this is going.
I should probably leave for this.
I need you for commentary.
Are we doing the Howard Stern thing?
It's not a Howard Stern thing. Trust me, Howard Stern would never do
something. What do you mean commentary? What are you going to do? Like, be the sideline correspondent? Like,
we're going to sit here. Whatever you want to do, Orpheus, you tell us.
All right, so I'm going to go get my stuff together. Actually, Indy, can you reach in the bag and get the torches and the cup and the fuel. Where are we going to do this at, by the way?
Jeremy, that's where, if Jeremy can come out, our producer.
We're going to throw you out in the balcony.
I think he was thinking this whole little area here.
Okay, the camera's ready and everything?
He's coming over.
I can leave for this portion of it.
Why?
I'm
not a fan of fire. Like,
there's not
going to
be, believe me, it's not what you think it is.
No, trust, it's up to you. I would like you to see it. I think you're going to be entertained by it.
That is such a dope watch, by the way.
Okay. Thank
you. I think you're going to be very entertained by it. It's going to be, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I think that should be my recompense for my comments.
So,
okay. All right. So where's the area we're going to be in? We're going to be in this general area right here. All right. And you're going to provide your legs?
I guess. Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. As long as it's safe. I don't care.
All right. So,
and like I said, there's a lot of them. So
Jeremy's moving the couch and he's got the camera. And Indigo, I appreciate you coming down. It's the first time you've been on the show and they're talking. Now you're saying that there's a third season.
Yes, it just started airing yesterday.
Who are the other ex-wives of Rock?
Charisse Neal was married to Vince Neal. Susan Blue Ashley was married to Jerry Dixon from Warrant Me.
Okay,
and Athena was married to James Kotak from the Scorpions.
Okay,
Athena Bass, who's Tommy's sister.
How did Tommy's sister get in there?
What do you mean?
Like he's not. She's not an ex-wife.
Yeah, she was married to James Kotak, the drummer of the Scorpions.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting.
You need to watch this documentary. It's really, very good.
No, it's not
documentary. You need to catch up.
I really need to catch
up. Here's the embarrassing thing for Mark. He usually, like, he did a ton of research on the other person who's going to be our guest tonight. Right.
Yeah.
And that's why he's not prepared. But he, like, does. He researches the shit out of everyone. Yeah,
except for me.
If I would have said yes to you last week, which in my instinct I should have.
He texted me immediately. He was so excited. But I didn't want to go back on the guest.
I should have. Yes, I should have. Then I would have had all these. So have there been, because I know reality shows do have some turnover. Have there been some ex-wives of Rock that didn't work out?
There was an original ex-wife of Rock who was on the show who quit right before we got picked up, who was also married to Vince. She was the second wife of Vince. What's her name? I can't think of her name.
How many times has Vince been married?
Like four.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he ever hit on you?
Oh, my God. Read the book.
I was hoping that he did.
Oh, my God. Yes, and read the book.
I'm going.
That's how I met Charisse Neal.
I'm going to the library after the show, and I'm going to get the book.
For real.
And
yes. I'm like, geez.
So because I do want to ask about reality TV, because everybody knows now. Be real. How much of it is reality and how much of it is shtick?
Our show is completely unscripted.
Right.
Unscripted. They never tell us what to do or say or anything. That's the best part of our show. And we are genuinely friends from 20 years, so we have that camaraderie.
Right.
Everything's real. Nothing you see is fake.
But some of it's edited out of context, though.
No, they don't do that to us. Thank God. Thank God.
Well, you've seen other reality shows that they do that.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful that I'm not on a show that does that.
Right.
For real. I mean, when you see something go down... I'll be like, now you know that they're going to replay this shit over and over. If I catch you in a lie, and they do, man. Like, right. One of the girls will always lie to me, and I'll be like, oh, playback. And they'll actually have the edit be like her repeating what she said she didn't say over and over. And I laugh, and I'm like, fucking bitch.
And who's
You know they're going to do that.
So you're like the ringleader.
Athena Kotak is by far the star of the show. Like, she's the breakout star of the show. And she and I are...
Oh, so there's a lot of fighting
together.
Yeah.
No, she and I are best friends.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever seen the show?
I haven't seen the show.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go now.
See the show. No. I'm going to go see the show.
I'm going to go.
No, that's why I'm asking. That's why I'm asking the show. Now,
season 1 and 2 are on YouTube.
Season 3
is on Access TV. Started yesterday evening.
Right.
Every Wednesday night.
Right. Now, there's a lot of beautiful women that are in the scantily clad things right now in the studio. I'm a little distracted. But so who's the troublemaker of the show? There's got to be a troublemaker.
There's no
catalyst.
You just have to watch it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to tell you anything, but the show is funny and off the chain and like self-deprecating and real. And we don't deny the viewers anything of our lives. We don't walk around like in champagne glasses and like, you know, like it's the real deal.
Right.
We share everything about it.
Okay. So it's on Access?
Access TV. Yeah.
Okay.
Every Wednesday night.
I am going to be turning it on as soon as I get home. Now, the lights are being dimmed.
Okay.
And
people are about to get on fire.
Yes. Indy's here. Now, this is, I'm telling you, this is something you really, I, even if you don't take it in a sexual way, it's breathtaking to watch.
I will look at it, but I mean, I didn't know I was signing up for this at all. Did not know.
I wasn't sure how far.
I'm actually scared. I don't even want to see that.
I will tell you that.
I don't like it.
I will tell you that Orpheus is. He actually did some training with the fire department to get clearance to do these things in public.
Is it
clubs.
Like? Do you have stuff on her, gel or something?
No. He's actually blowing the fire on her.
I don't even want to.
It's apparently, from what I understand, the sensation is like a tickling sensation, but a very warm, tickly sensation. And
you like that?
Sounds like she likes it. It sounds like and I know that's, you know, this is Orpheus' wife, so he's actually touching her a lot closer than he would some other women.
Yeah. But, so, not my thing, but hey.
Right.
Each his own.
This didn't happen on the Sunset Strip.
Nope. I don't know. Maybe it did. I have no interest in seeing that. Wow.
It's trust me, when I do go to fetish clubs, and this is how I met Orpheus.
That's crazy.
And I saw him doing this, and I was wow. It's just something I've never seen anything like it.
I know.
He's always nice to do this on the show.
I don't know.
And
that's crazy.
It is nuts.
Yeah, I'm over it. I'm over it. Did you like it? Or is it like... I mean, really, I'm just curious. I'm like, I would be doing that. Did you really like it? Yeah. Do you really like it?
That's a secret. That's a secret to a 20-year marriage. Too much?
No, sometimes the feelings are intense.
Yeah,
but and sometimes it just feels warm, mm-hmm. and sometimes it feels hot as hell.
Yeah,
so it varies. But yes, I really do like it.
So you go with it.
My panties are wet right now. So.
Oh Lord.
So are mine. But
I wasn't expecting that. I mean. It's not the first time it's happened.
Right.
But it's been a little while since the last time it's happened. Right.
And you knew him before he was doing the fire play, correct?
Yes.
And when
we were like into at least, would you say, 5, maybe 6 years into our life together before
right.
wow. he started doing fire
play. Now he's doing it on Nicole. And we totally missed it. Okay.
So since he's not totally flame retardant.
Right. Right.
Of course, I don't burn very.
Do you guys have kids?
Yes, we
do. How many?
3.
Oh, that's sweet. And where are they when all this crazy shit's going down?
But our children are now grown.
Oh, are they?
But,
like mine.
They just were doing what kids do.
You know,
that's a great question.
My kid talks to me about sex stuff, and I freak out. I go like, you know you don't have to do that, right? Like, she's such a crazier than I've ever been.
No, we have always openly talked about sex,
your kids.
Sex type things. Yeah, yeah. We had an issue with violence. My son could not get a video game with violence in it until he was like 17.
Yeah,
we didn't have toy guns when it came time to play with water, like those we use, like those worms at the time. Yeah. Yeah,
did he have anger issues or you just did that on purpose?
I don't advocate violence.
I agree.
I don't see a problem with sex though. I think we have a crazy society mm-hmm. where it is okay for 40 people to die before the credits of a movie are rolled, but you can't see 2 people make love.
Exactly.
Right. We're all in agreement there.
It's horrible. Yeah. I can't even watch some of the movies these days. It's so graphically gory and disgusting.
Even the PG movies.
I'm not down like that at all. Like, I can't watch that stuff.
Well, I can watch, and I am watching Orpheus is setting Nicole's legs on fire. I will tell you that Nicole had not seen Orpheus do this in the clubs, and he did it on the show.
Uh-huh. So this
and
is
she was
she's
always
a
curious.
Complete virgin?
She's a fire virgin, and she took it like a woman.
So,
right on.
So, okay, having no concept of it whatsoever, how do you feel about it now?
It was just very warm. That's all.
It's not what people think it is.
Yeah.
And also... there's a lot of things that come into play. This is why it's not something that you just say, hey, I got some fire. Let me go do this thing.
Oh, definitely don't do that. You don't do it at home.
Please don't.
He worked on it. He does teach it, but I mean, it's a constant thing. And
right. You
always have to remember that fire is a live entity.
It is.
Absolutely.
You will not control it.
No.
You can only work within it, and you cannot, at the moment you think you have mastered it, is the moment you will fuck up.
Yeah.
Right.
I love fire. I think it's beautiful. And as I was mentioning before, like heat, I can take a lot of heat. Cold, on the other hand, I hate. Like if that was ice play, forget that.
Yeah, me
forget
too.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's something that, sorry about the bright lights.
I thought something was behind me.
Right.
I look like a crazy person.
I think, I don't know if Jeremy's back there with another Reds, but
would you like
surprise.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
I appreciate being on the show and doing that. I finally got you on the show.
Well, I'd like to interview you both at the same time.
What used to happen is your show is obviously on a Thursday night,
right. And
my troupe rehearsal nights for ATS Belly Dance was on Thursdays.
I didn't know your belly
so
dance.
I could never make it. Yeah. But we've moved our rehearsal nights, and so now
fun.
I'm available.
It's so great.
I want to take dance class.
Really? You should. It's great for you.
You've never belly danced, Bobby?
Yeah, I have, but I got in the car accident, so I had, had to stop.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so
definitely.
I need to get back into it because I've gained 40 pounds just sitting there going, not
well, it is more than that. Anything like that makes you feel good.
Right.
Yeah. I love it. Like good music, dancing. It's awesome.
If you gain 40 pounds and you still this sexy, goddamn.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Orpheus.
I keep telling everybody I look like a bag of mayonnaise.
Hardly.
So
no.
Gross.
Trust me. I've never seen mayonnaise look that hot. No.
I say that all the time.
You must have been super skinny before because I don't know where it goes.
I had lost a bunch of weight. I had lost all my weight and I was back down to like fighting shape last year.
Because I don't know about everybody else, but I'm like, Just right.
Oh, yeah.
Just
now. No, I lost all my weight last year, and now I gained it all back.
So. Right. So was Orpheus, was he extra? I mean, was that... Because he seemed like you were having a really intense reaction. Was
we're
he doing
call it
that,
a firegasm?
You were getting a firegasm. Was he doing it harder and closer than normal?
No, I think because these were new torches, it was very intense.
Right.
And what happens is with the heat, and especially when he's closer to my uterus, I guess, what happens is you start to contract because, you're pulling in.
Right.
And that is where the orgasms come because,
right.
I mean... If you sat here and rubbed your nipples, mm-hmm. it would cause contractions in your uterus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you could come that way. So,
yeah,
that's what happens with the
For the record, right. if you're paying attention, gentlemen, you can make a woman. It's absolutely true. Or ladies. Either one can make a woman come that way.
Well, before we have a demonstration of that, I hate to say it, but we're running out of time.
Oh, and yeah, I am. I still wanted to show you my new tongue action.
Let's see the new tongue action. We want to end it down.
I was like, damn, I want to see that, though. I want to see that.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't down for the fire. She was down for the tongue.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck that fire shit. I want to see the tongue.
But let me tell you something. This is the best Valentine's show we've ever had. I know we're 4 days late.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, really?
I know we're four days late.
It's only 4 days ago it was Valentine's.
4 days ago was Valentine's. How was your Valentine's?
I'm having a shitty week.
I know you were telling me.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we're making it better, and our book exchange will make it much more exciting.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes.
And Bobby Brown, I'm sorry that things got so last minute.
That's
okay. Do the adequate research.
He really, really wanted you to.
No, I would have been.
Trust me. I
saved the day.
You completely saved the day.
No, I'm teasing.
No, you completely saved the day.
Oh, thank you.
And you're an amazing guest, an amazing woman. You've had an amazing life and an amazing career, and it just keeps going.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think the best is yet to come.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If anybody wants to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you, or if they want to get their book?
At Bobby Jean Brown, BobbyJeanBrown.net. Bobby Jean Brown 92 on Facebook, Brown Bobby on Instagram. You can get the book at BobbyJeanBrown.net. It's my online store. I have amazing clothes and jewelry and accessories.
I did get on the website, and it is a terrific website.
Yeah, it's
there's
for women, though.
Stuff.
Like, mostly, there's no guy stuff, really.
But I was looking at the clothes, and they were really cool.
Yeah, they are great women's clothes and for a discount. And Twitter, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
At Bobby Jean Brown, that's all. That's good.
Yeah,
and you can get the book on
box,
Amazon if you want. If you don't want to go to my store and get it signed, you just go get
absolutely.
It off.
And as we were talking, there's
an Audible. Yeah.
You can, if you get that book, you'll answer all the questions that I asked and refuse to answer.
Exactly.
And, and you know, once again, every time I see you, you just enrapture me. You're terrific.
Aww,
your smile lights up a room.
Thank
and
you.
And I so appreciate you coming.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate Nicole coming because we've never had you before.
You.
He's always played with everybody else. And, you know, seeing Nicole get set on fire, I've been waiting for that for a year.
Next time we have to bring her in sooner than, like, 2 minutes before it's over.
I understand. But to see you getting set on fire was terrific. And
thank you. Is this the first time you've seen... No, I've seen
you do
first time we've seen a fire orgasm.
But it's the first time you've had an orgasm on my show, which I do appreciate that.
Yay!
It's the first time I've even heard of this.
Last time I was on your show, I was, like, trying to flirt with you, and you weren't having it. So this is a lot better. I love that.
Do you just flirt with everyone?
No. They're married. I'm flirting with you. But I was on the show. I was being entertaining. And Orpheus Black, if you can get on the mic here,
do
people
Scorpio,
get a hold of
though.
You?
It's not his fault.
OrpheusBlack.com, or you can go to Orpheus Black at Facebook, Orpheus Black on FetLife, Orpheus Black on Twitter, Orpheus Black. I dominate the Orpheus Black market.
But not Black Orpheus. Orpheus Black.
I have a lot of people with that name, unlike mine.
And are you guys still on Chocolate Radio?
We are not on Chocolate Radio.
Okay.
We're actually going into a new venture with Sex Positive.
Okay.
Sex Positive World Organization.
Okay, great.
Nice.
We'll look forward to that. And go to NicoleSix.com, get her books.
And then at that NicoleSix on Twitter or Instagram, and the real NicoleSix on Facebook.
I want to tie Nicole up.
Nicole, do you want to get tied up?
Right now?
That's my cue. I gotta go.
Anyway,
let's have it for the next
show. Goth comedian and everybody, have a wonderfully creepy Valentine's
Day.
Have
a wonderfully creepy Valentine's Day, because I did.
Yeah. Thank you.
My ears are sweaty.